Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. This is the second hour of the show. And my guest is Mark McAfee. He's the Chief Executive Officer and Managing Member of Organic Pastures. They provide raw milk products, raw milk itself, cheese, butter, all kinds of wonderful things. And I wanted to have Mark on the show to talk to the listeners about raw milk. What is raw milk? How is it different from the milk you might get in your supermarket? Their website is organicpastures.com. The name of the dairy is Organic Pastures, and Mark runs the show with various family members. Mark, welcome to the show.
No, thank you for having me this morning. It's a great subject to talk about.
Yes, I enjoy talking about it too, and I basically try to drink raw milk whenever I can, whenever I'm in California. Of course, I choose Organic Pastures, so I, you know, don't mean this to be an hour-long commercial for it, but I can't help it. It's a it's a great product, and I'm happy to be drinking it whenever I can. But Mark, maybe we could start with telling the listener who might be out there, whether it be a Californian who can buy from you or somebody across the country, but just explain, you know, what most Americans are probably drinking as their milk products versus what you provide.
Well, to lay down a little foundation here so people would understand why they would want to drink raw milk, if you were to put in your search engine right now, whichever one you use, put in most allergenic food in America, pasteurized milk could come up in the number one position on the FDA website, the Mayo Clinic website. So it's pretty much acknowledged in America that for children, anybody, 14, 15 years of age or younger, that pasteurized milk is highly allergenic. Raw milk, on the other hand, is exactly the opposite of that and stabilizes mast cells and keeps histamines from reacting and running around your body causing lots of inflammation and wreaks havoc with your immune system. And raw milk actually stabilizes those mast cells and keeps allergies, asthma, eczema, and all those kinds of inflammatory things intact. And on top of that, if you were to do a little search engine on, pasteurized milk and the incidence of lactose intolerance or maldigestion, you find anywhere from 20 to 50% of the population, depending on which study you look at, has some kind of maldigestion with pasteurized milk. They can't digest it. It causes gas cramps, diarrhea, bloating. But yet, raw milk, multiple studies have shown that virtually nobody, I mean, we're talking about less than 1% of the people, have any kind of digestive issues with raw milk. So there's two huge issues, the allergies associated with pasteurized dead milk, and the ability to digest. So once you figure that out, and you're not just going to abandon milk altogether and go to soy milk or almond milk or rice milk or hemp milk or something else, almond milk, and you're going to stick with a dairy product with good fats from grass-fed cows, then you would think about raw milk. And you got to remember that breast milk is raw milk. It's unprocessed, whole, living, enzymes are there, good bacteria is there, the fats are important, they're viable, the oligosaccharide sugars. It's a whole, complete food. And there's a whole movement of people in the United States today that are kind of rebelling and saying, wait a minute, we don't like our food processed. Just leave it the heck alone. We want it not to have colorings. We want it to be irradiated. We don't want it to be heated. We don't want it to have funky stuff like antibiotics and residues from God knows what and preservatives. We want it to be whole, fresh, digestible, non-allergenic, just like God created it for the last million years. And people are rebelling and saying, no more toxic food in my body. Raw milk is a whole, complete food, and it has all those wonderful attributes to it that people are searching for. So that's kind of the basics. It's not allergenic, and it doesn't cause a lactose intolerance, and people love it. It's great for building kids' immune systems because it has a biodiversity of good bacteria, like yogurt bacteria, that actually recolonize the gut in everyone that drinks it. And since 80% of your immune system is the biodiversity of good bacteria in your gut, guess what? Raw milk is a powerful immune system rebuilding food. So that's kind of starters of why people are seeking out raw milk.
So you mentioned that term dead milk, which I picked up on. I don't know if the listeners did, but an interesting term, and I'm sure it has a story behind it. What would be, why do you refer to it as dead milk, and what can you tell the listeners about why it might be, they might consider it dead milk too?
In America, one of the oldest industries, one of the oldest practices, oldest markets, foods, is production of raw milk. In 1636, the Jamestown was starving until the arrival of the first 100 cows from London, England. That they killed a few to eat them, and then they started milking them. What do you know? Americans stopped going back to England. They started, having cows eat grass and eat their food coming from their cow or their goat or their sheep or their horse that had milk as a byproduct, because we can't eat grass. We need an animal to digest the grass, and then we can get byproducts from the animal. So animals are kind of a solar food intermediary between the sun and the grass and ourselves. And the reason I say raw milk, pasteurized milk is dead is because it's exactly that. Industry for a long time in America, the last 200 years, has sold milk to people. And for a long time it was sold raw. And there's always been two kinds of raw milk in America, and this is really, really important for people to kind of sink their teeth into and kind of get their brain around. Two kinds of raw milk. One raw milk has always been intended to go to be pasteurized from 1893 forward anyway. That milk didn't have to have a lot of care for it. You could do whatever you wanted. You can combine 15, 20, 30, 50 different dairies' milk together and not worry about bad bacteria or high bacteria counts, because you're going to cook the living heck out of it. You're going to actually kill it to stabilize it on the shelf and make it, quote, safe, unquote, because the bad bacteria were killed by heat. Well, that was one kind of raw milk in America, the sloppy kind that goes off to be pasteurized and processed since 1893. Prior to that, a lot of people died from raw milk in certain kinds of conditions because the milk was filthy. However, there's another kind of raw milk in America, and it's politically kind of inappropriate and incorrect, but it's nutritionally perfect. And that's the raw milk intended for human consumption directly, and it's made on a completely different set of standards. You have to be very meticulous about it. It comes from cows on grass. Sunshine plays a part. You don't feed a lot of grain to the cows. You don't ever give the cows antibiotics. You keep the cows clean. You're very caring about the milk. The milk goes from your cows into your bottle, into your trucks, to the store or directly to a consumer, where one farmer takes full responsibility for the production and care of that milk. So you kind of have two different kinds of milk: industrial milk, which is dirty milk that goes to be processed, and you've got clean, fresh raw milk that's regulated, inspected, tested, food management plans, food safety plans. One farmer takes brand responsibility for the product and has a relationship directly with the consumer. And that farmer collects all the money, doesn't have anybody cheating him out of the money, and also the consumer collects all the nutritional value from that product. So you have two kinds of raw milk in America, and one is completely dead or nearly so, and the other one is alive with enzymes and probiotic bacteria and flavor, and they're just two different realities. And I'll tell you that the pasteurized milk ordinance, the big dairy industry people, they oppress raw milk because raw milk bypasses the processor and they don't make any money. So they do everything they can to kill the raw milk story because they want their people to go drink pasteurized milk and ignore raw milk because they lose out when the raw milk producer sells directly to the consumer. So there's a big story around this that's multi-layered, that has to do with politics, has to do with food safety, it has to do with nutrition and immune systems and money, dollar voting, consumer preference, digestibility, allergies. You go on all day long about the differences in this fight. And consumers are awakening and are just fed up with the nutrition being provided to them by these highly processed foods and are seeking out organic, local, unprocessed foods that give their bodies the nourishment to have strong immune systems.
Now, before we started the interview, you had mentioned to me unique circumstances that are going on in California or have existed for a long, long time. Could you explain to the listeners, because they can't change history for their own state?
Well, our great-grandparents are the ones that were scared and kind of had a Faustian deal with the devil, so to speak. They traded freedom for regulation. And instead of actually making personal choices and connecting directly to farmers, which was not easy to do, they moved to the cities. They started eating industrial milk, and they traded cleanliness for regulations and industrialization and standards. So, that happened a long time ago. Now, consumers have lost their freedom to choose certain dairy products because in certain states you can't buy this stuff because regulations forbid it. There's a fight now, and although it's not our fault in this generation, we have to take on this fight to win back some of these freedoms and choices to have safe, delicious, fresh raw milk. Now, here in California, my hat is off to the Stubbies Brothers, the Altadena organization. It's now no longer the way it was before. It was certified raw milk until 1999. They went out of business in 1999. But, you know, all through the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and 80s, it was Altadena and the Stubbies Brothers, along with some other activists, that protected consumers' rights to access raw milk in California. In fact, in 1977, was passed, the Food and Ag Code law, that actually protected the right to consume raw milk and access raw milk if you so chose to drink raw milk in California. Consumers were protected to have that right. But those are rare things. If you look at all 50 states, there's only about 8 states that allow the retail sale of raw milk, where most, half the states, raw milk, you have to go to the farm and buy it directly from a farmer, and the farmer can't even advertise it or deliver it. And then the other half of the states, raw milk's prohibited and completely illegal. Work to do in America, and I think that the most of the work's being done on the blogs and on the internet, and by consumers simply saying, "Oh my God, I drink raw milk. It's fresh. It's delicious. It does all these wonderful things to my immune system, and my children thrive on it." When pasteurized milk causes all kinds of allergies and mucus production and histamines and triggers asthma, raw milk does exactly the opposite. In fact, big studies now from Europe are showing this to be true. The Parsifal study showed it to be true, and the Gabriella study showed it to be true in Basel, Switzerland over the last 6 years. So there's great science that's been peer-reviewed and published around the world showing this to be true on top of the anecdotal and testimonial information coming directly from consumers that's driving kind of an internet uprising, a raw milk spring, if you will, where people are saying, wait, we now know the truth. The big lie is really not true. Yeah, there's raw milk that needs to be pasteurized, and it should be because it's dirty and it can make somebody sick. But raw milk that's clean and pure and tested and comes from one farmer that takes responsibility and comes from pastures, it doesn't make you sick. In fact, it makes you very, very well, and it gets rid of immune depression. And remember, 80% of your immune system is that good bacteria in your gut. Well, our American diets don't have those bacteria available to recolonize our guts. And since we take antibiotics for every sniffle, and we have lots of preservatives in our food, and foods are sterilized, and bacteriophobia has been rampant with the Purell nation, so to speak, we have a depressed immune system. So what food would you seek out to rebuild your immune system? And raw milk's that food, or fermented raw milk like kefir would be that food. And so in California, we're very privileged to have 400 stores carrying raw milk from organic pasture dairy, and also Claravel Dairy, which has been around California since 1927. And they're not certified organic and they're not grass-fed, but they are all-natural brand of Jersey milk and widely available as well. So we're about 95% market share. They've got about 40, 50 cows. We've got about 425 cows under 500 acres of pasture. But both of us serve California with raw milk in about 400 stores and about 25 farmers markets. So we're kind of serving as a basis for people to use as an example, and they share their testimonials with people that don't live in California, and it tends to piss people off because people are saying, well, why can't I have those rights like they do in California? And unless you're living in one of those 8 states that allow the retail sale of raw milk, there's a jealousy between sisters that occurs where they're saying, well, why can't my kids have access to raw milk easily like they do in California? Instead, they have access only to pasteurized milk, and their asthma and allergies gets worse instead of getting better. So that's it's an educational mountain that's being moved right now by the internet.
Well, I'm sure there's a huge frustration out there. Well, we have a break coming up here pretty quick. I just wanted to comment that, you know, I was always have been a milk drinker, and it was really pretty devastating news when I was able to taste your milk 2 or 3 years ago and hear you speak and actually hear the truth. And I thought to myself, all those years I was drinking that white substance that I thought was so healthy for me, and come to find out that wasn't the case. So I can imagine the frustration on the part of other people. Anyway, we got a break coming up, so just to let the listeners know, our guest is Mark McAfee. He's the Chief Executive Officer and Managing Member of Organic Pastures, and they help cows to make raw milk and distribute it to you. Their website is organicpastures.com, and they're in Fresno, California. So in this sense, Californians are fortunate. There's lots of ways that Californians aren't so fortunate, but this is one of them. So anyway, we'll be back after the break with our guest, Mark McAfee, and please join us.
Join the Cavalcade to Freedom. The Cavalcade backed to constitutional government. Climb on board and do your part to proclaiming liberty throughout the land. Join and support Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. To view the strategic plan, to spread the word, and to get information on joining, go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com or call the fellowship office at 410-857-5444. That's 410-857-5444 to join the Cavalcade to Freedom. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
This is Randall Yearout on Subversion. Just based on current facts before us, our nation's political leaders in elected office and both major parties have embraced policies and legislation subversive to our American form of law and government. Therefore, I think it profitable to visit the wisdom of our founding fathers regarding this kind of behavior. Samuel Adams, regarding spreading the wealth around and centralized control of the economy, said these ideas are, quote, as visionary and impractical as those which vest all property in the crown. They are arbitrary, despotic, and in our form of government, unconstitutional, unquote. These charges could be aimed directly at our president and Congress today. Thomas Jefferson wrote of a central government so strong that it borders on monarchy, these men have no right to office. If a monarchist be in office anywhere, and it be known to the president, the oath he has taken to support the Constitution imperiously requires the instantaneous dismission of such officer, and I hold the president criminal if he permitted such to remain. To appoint a monarchist to conduct the affairs of a republic is like appointing an atheist to the priesthood. Unquote. The situation in America today is socialism for we the people and a political class who think they're monarchs rather than our agents. Congressmen openly insulting citizens exercising their First Amendment rights to redress. Congressmen taxing future generations without their consent. Presidents and judges approving of all this with their silence. These will be our defining years in the eyes of our children and grandchildren, but if we do nothing, we will come to nothing. We need Americans in great numbers to join us.
This constitutional message has been brought to you by the members of the Constitution Party. Visit us at www.constitutionparty.com.
Peeling back the layers every day with Frank Turek and Wall Farm. News, sports, and more.
A little hiccup yesterday at the White House after President Obama's home teleprompter reportedly malfunctioned during a family dinner. Correspondent Jane Carmichael joins us.
President Obama's home teleprompter suddenly went blank. He sort of froze mid-sentence, but after a few seconds of silence, Obama was able to pull up his prepared remarks from memory.
Well, White House Deputy Press Secretary Brenda England addressed this error today.
Look, the president has hundreds of conversations every day, and it simply isn't feasible for him to memorize the text for every single one. The prompter is really just a tool to help the president remember to speak, blink, and breathe.
The prompters just help make sure he doesn't say the wrong thing at any point,
asking Obama to fumble around awkwardly.
The president has increased his reliance on the teleprompter, sending it alone on low-priority diplomatic meetings and photo ops. Well, right after the break, we'll talk to a Philadelphian who knows all the best places to get murdered.
Peeling back the layers every day with Frank Turek and Wall Farm. News, sports, and more. The official home of Glenn Beck, Dilemmas, Alex Jones, Mark Levin, and the hosts of Liberty Works Radio Network.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
He went without food, not to lose weight, but to help people lose generations of hate. While many around him rose up with violence, he sat down for peace. When others used religion as an excuse for war, he used it to remind them of love. Mahatma Gandhi made the world a far better place by reaching out with the strength he cultivated within his soul. Soul, pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Yeah. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I am the agent for truth, Joe Bannister, your host, freedomabovefortune.com and agentfortruth.com. And our guest is Mark McAfee. He's the chief executive officer and managing member of Organic Pastures. It's a dairy in Fresno, California, and their website is organicpastures.com. Fascinating topic as far as I'm concerned, and I imagine you will too, but perhaps if you don't live in California after hearing this show, you're going to join the very frustrated, upset Americans who are wondering why Californians can have access to raw milk and other states can't. I was expressing before the break to Mark that, you know, I've always been a milk drinker. And until I was, you know, been maybe two or three years ago that I met Mark and encountered Organic Pastures, and had thought for those 45 years that I was eating a healthy food, pasteurized milk, and I thought that, you know, I believed the BS that pasteurization is always necessary and very helpful to the milk, and came to find out that, as Mark called it in the previous segment, it's dead milk. And, you know, as he said, there's certain reasons why there may have to be some dead milk floating around out there, but it doesn't exclude the reasons and the benefits of raw milk. Is that pretty accurate, Mark?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, you know what's really interesting is that people that have lactose intolerance with pasteurized milk, where they don't have the lactase enzyme in their gut to help digest the lactose sugar, if they drink raw milk on an ongoing basis, they can enjoy pasteurized milk because the bacteria lactobacillus and the bifidobacteria and some coliform bacteria actually recolonize the walls of the villi in the gut and produce the lactase enzyme as a residual byproduct or residual effect of drinking raw milk. So they can enjoy like pasteurized ice cream without a side effect. So, and it's actually a symbiotic good thing between raw milk and pasteurized milk.
Very, very good point. Now, what I'd like to do is, again, because, you know, we're going to have listeners that aren't all in California, throughout the country and maybe even throughout the world, because it's an internet radio show as well. Tell us about the, you know, we talked about California and why there's basically some grandfathering there, thanks to some grandfathers and grandmothers years ago establishing these protections in the California law. But what's the reason that someone in Nevada or Arizona can't purchase raw milk from Organic Pastures?
Well, there's a law, and the law is a federal code. It's, it was never passed by Congress, but it's a regulation, let's put it that way, administrative regulation. It's called CFR 1240.61, and it's the FDA code that says that no raw milk should be taken across state lines unless it's pasteurized for human consumption. So it's actually a criminal activity, which I've been sued for by the FDA. A few years ago I sued, and I had to settle out and stuff. It was ugly because I was shipping pet food all over the United States to two-legged human pets. I was the first to say, yes, we're using a loophole, and I was guilty as heck. But we sold raw milk across the United States for 5-6 years at tremendous amounts of it to people that had to have raw milk for medicinal reasons or just because they thought it was delicious by overnight UPS shipment. But we have not done that now for the last 3 years. And in stopping that process, when the FDA stopped me from being able to ship across state lines according because of this law, that actually receded and seeded into the United States, across all United States, a need for local raw milk. So it was actually the biggest screw-up the FDA could do was to say no more raw milk from Organic Pastures Dairy being shipped anywhere because, you know, the raw milk we produce is exquisitely clean. It's under the state of California standard. It's tested. It's pathogen-free, all kinds of great stuff going on. What people did was they no longer had an easy source to get raw milk by via UPS. They were forced to go to the local dairyman and say, hey, I want raw milk from you. And so literally we had, I don't know how many, I mean, it was like 50 calls in 6 months from different dairies across the United States saying, hey, we got people wanting raw milk from us. How do we do it like you do so we can be safe? So it actually kind of seeded into the national psyche, you know, a need for raw milk on a local basis that wasn't there before. So the FDA, whenever they tend to harass raw milk producers on interstate milk shipments, they tend to really stir up the market and expose the various reasons why milk could be pasteurized to begin with. Because the production of raw milk for human consumption is a clean, personal responsibility thing. The production of raw milk for pasteurization is a filthy process. I mean, not that any particular dairyman is filthy, because there's a lot of dairymen out there that are very, very clean, do an excellent job of clean milk production. But the problem is that milk all gets dumped into one common tank at a creamery, so it doesn't matter how scrupulous one dairyman was in production of the raw milk, because it gets dumped into the good, bad, and the ugly of everybody else's. And as a result, it's all pasteurized, and the living bacteria that are found at high levels in milk that's about to be pasteurized get sent through the high heat of pasteurization, 160, 180 degrees, and those bacteria are broken open to kill them. They're lysed. They're broken open by heat. And so the internal cell contents of those bacteria are now in the open medium of the milk fluid. And when you drink that, it triggers all kinds of histamine responses. The mast cells of your body says, wait a minute, I don't recognize these pieces of bacteria, these pieces of protein, and we got to cough and hack and get it out of here because it's waste products that have no business being in your body. They're not digestible, and they trigger allergies. Well, raw milk has these wonderful probiotic living bacteria and some wonderful, wonderful sugars like oligosaccharide sugars, which actually help escort them through the digestive tract and help feed them to recolonize the gut. Those bacteria are recognized by our bodies and build antibodies and actually recolonize our gut and becomes the living part of our internal ecosystem, which is the immune system. So, you know, they're just polar opposites between raw milk and pasteurized milk. And there goes the battle between the living food and dead food.
So what would be, you mentioned about, you know, basically there might be some purposes for, well, obviously the purpose when they're commingling all this milk and there's bacteria right. that they need to kill, but what would be a market for that? In other words, what do they need to use that kind of milk for?
Well,
I mean, if people had access to raw milk, let's say, would there be any reason to still pasteurize some kinds of milk?
There will be a massive shortage of raw milk for human consumption for the foreseeable future that I'm aware of. And I see raw milk for human consumption being a niche product, mostly for children and for people that have osteoporosis and allergies and immune systems and sensitivity to pasteurized milk. If you don't have sensitivity to pasteurized milk, then knock yourself out. Go for it and drink pasteurized milk. No problem. But if you do, you need to have that other choice. Pasteurized milk is an excuse for dirty milk. It's what it is. And it also facilitates industrialization of milk and milk products. And so we have an entire battleship of industry that's been created since 1893 when the first parboiling of milk was done in downtown New York with Strauss in these community cooking pots that would kill off bad bacteria, which saved so many people's lives because these filthy distillery dairies that had been put together in the next to the distilleries in the large metropolitan areas of the Eastern Seaboard to create rum because we couldn't get our rum from Jamaica were really the etiology and the beginning of this filthy milk problem. When you got rid of the distillery dairies, then you got rid of the filthy milk problem. But the one thing that pasteurization did was extend shelf life. So it was kind of a crutch to not only not have to worry about bad bacteria and cleanliness of bacteria in the milk, but you also got in the trade a longer fresh milk life, well, a dead shelf life. It is embalming milk, basically. You're stabilizing it. But the problem is that, you know, that shelf life extends into your gut, and it doesn't break down there either. And as a result, it becomes indigestible. So what you got on the shelf is shelf-stable is also gut-stable. And that doesn't work for digestibility. So there may be a role for pasteurization over the long term. I'm the first to say I'm extremely biased for raw milk and against pasteurized milk because of what I do. But I also understand there's a role for pasteurized milk because of the need for massive amounts of food to feed a large population of people as we have constructed it in the culture of America today. So I understand the role of it, but I also understand the downside of the processed food angle and what it does to the human physiology. And there's got to be a connect, a synergism, a collaborative effort together between raw milk and pasteurized milk. and perhaps, let's say, less pasteurized milk, less processed milk, where you have minimally processed milk that's been recultured, let's say probiotic bacteria added back in to make kefirs and make yogurts and things that are very digestible even when pasteurized. So I see the dairy industry actually swinging back from the edge of highly processed and coming back to more of a centrist or minimally processed, not homogenized, not standardized, just pasteurized, and then adding back in beneficial bacteria, as many as possible, to be able to make a probiotic food that's easily digested. Kind of following the European trends, which there's not a lot of fluid milk consumed in Europe. There's less and less of it being consumed, and you have more and more probiotic byproducts being consumed because they're easily digestible. There's raw milk available in Europe as well, through Slovenia, Italy, France, Switzerland. It's widely available and consumed, where fluid milk is actually something that's not preferred. Or it's less and less preferred, I put it that way. It's still marketed across the nation, in the EU, but it's declining as probiotics and raw milk actually picks up as it is in the world today, in the United States today.
I see. And I like your point, or it's an interesting point about, you know, doesn't break down on the shelf, doesn't break down in your gut, because I know when I've purchased, I'm not in California, I'm purchasing butter, and forget to put it back in the fridge. And it's like, well, why do I even need to put it in the fridge? Because it doesn't seem to, nothing happens to it, you know, and you think it was like a McDonald's hamburger or something. It just doesn't seem to have any problem being out for a while.
Right.
And so that's a good point, that same thing's going on in your gut, where it's, your body isn't going to be able to do any more magic to it than the air could.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Interesting. Now, so am I going too far overboard by saying that there's no nutritional value, pasteurized milk? I mean, when they pasteurize it, do they kill everything, or they can only kill 80% of what might be good for a human body?
The definition of pasteurization is twofold. Number one, it's a promise of a 5-log reduction of whatever bacteria load comes in the front end. So 5 logarithms is basically 100,000 reduction. It's 10 to the 5. So it's 10 times 10 times 10 times 10 is 100,000. And basically you're taking whatever load comes in the front and you're applying a kill step, a pasteurization heat step, which reduces it by 100,000 fold. Now that doesn't mean zero. That means 100,000 fold. So you're never getting to zero. And depending on how clean the milk is when it comes into the pasteurizer, depends on what the bacteria load is after the pasteurizer in terms of its viable amount of bacteria that actually survives. There are more and more bacteria that actually are becoming heat resistant and surviving the pasteurization process. There's listerias that are now heat resistant. In fact, they don't expect listeria to be at zero now in pasteurized milk. They expect it to be at certain low levels that they're no longer really viable. There are types of para-TB, paratuberculosis, which is not associated with TB. It's actually a type of it's called, it's Yoni's disease. In Europe, it's been associated with Crohn's, that survive pasteurization temperatures. And this is widely known, but the dairy industry doesn't like to talk about it because they turn their pasteurizers much up any higher, and they start having other problems with burnt flavor and so on and so forth. So there's problems with fighting with Mother Nature, fighting against Mother Nature, and challenging bacteria, because those little suckers, they want to survive. I mean, they're the first forms of life on Earth, and they make up the majority of our immune system, and they're everywhere. They're all encompassing. And the more we try to kill them, the more we create antibiotic or resistant forms of them. So we need to make friends with bacteria and make sure that we have lots of good ones so the bad ones don't have a chance to grow. Because if we eliminate all the bacteria, only the bad actors tend to take over the positions, and we start having all kinds of disease processes as a result. And this is just a matter of basic biology. I mean, this is the physiology of how a human body works, the digestive tract, and so on and so forth. But, you know, the best studies done at the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, and MIT, and the Human Genome Project will explain this about how our bodies work with these essential bacterial functions being a role with human DNA. But yet industry doesn't care because it doesn't sell more of their products. So when your paycheck relies on ignoring certain parts of science, then obviously science will be ignored.
Right. Well, Our guest is Mark McAfee. He's the Chief Executive Officer, Managing Member of Organic Pastures, organicpastures.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
There's a reason education is because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. It's the big, wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting f***ed by a system that threw them overboard. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly f***ed jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Along with Samuel Adams, Patrick Henry was most instrumental in establishing the American dream. Henry made the following plea.
The battle, sir, is not for the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. There is no retreat. But in submission and slavery, our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard upon the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. And let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. Oh, gentlemen may cry, peace, peace. But there is none. The war has already begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north shall bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Is life so dear and peace so sweet to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Give me liberty or give me death.
Patrick Henry, one of the foremost framers of individual and religious freedom, a son of liberty and the American dream.
The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Isn't life an awesome gift? Married couples have the power to co-create an eternal life with God that will last forever. God has also designed us so that we can plan our families effectively, naturally, and without chemicals or barriers. Learn natural family planning in English or Spanish through classes or home study from the Couple to Couple League. Visit ccli.org or call 800-745-8252.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to them about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. Our guest is Mark McAfee. He's the Chief Executive Officer and Managing Member of Organic Pastures. It's a dairy in Fresno, California, and it's a raw milk dairy. Organicpastures.com is the website, and just a delicious product. It also happens to be good for you. Whenever I'm in California, I try to grab some. I think Mark said there's over 400 stores in California that carry it. So if you are a Californian or you visit California frequently enough, I think your website, organicpastures.com, actually lists the stores that carry your products, don't they, Mark?
They do. If you put your zip code into our homepage store finder, it'll show you the 10 closest stores or farmers markets to your home.
Well, that'd be awesome. Now, we were kind of before the break talking about the, usually the bottom line, money is, what generates interest in things or disinterest, and, money is what makes lobbyists do their thing back in Washington or in the state houses. Are you finding that, you talked about a battle going on. Yep. What do you see as the future in terms of the federal enforcement through this Code of Federal Regulations, basically a regulation but not a statute?
Sure.
Where do you see that going? Because, we both probably agree that the federal government is so much less accountable.
Well, I don't see the federal government leading anything. They're actually followers. If you look at what happened to Jack in Box back in the 1980s when you had a bunch of people die from the ground beef problems in E. coli, it was industry that actually fixed the problems, and the FDA came along with regulations later that followed industry. It wasn't the FDA coming out and saying we have to do something and changing anything. They actually lagged industry. So I see this as the FDA actually following and lagging behind what the people want and what industry does before them. What I see happening is dollar voting is going on in just chaos right now. It's just crazy where people are just scrambling for raw milk in California and across the United States. And every battle is different because in California it's a supply issue to get enough milk to the people because obviously they're scrambling to get it. Where other states it's just an issue of being able to access it all because the oppressions by the state governments that kind of are puppets for the FDA. So I see a battle raging that's going to go on for a little while here. We did a Faustian trade with regulations for freedom 60, 70 years ago, and our grandparents didn't show up and protest because they didn't know any better. They thought pasteurization is the greatest thing in the world and didn't realize the side effect of its immune system issues as well as its digestibility problems. So this generation now has to take it back and work now to bring someplace to a reasonable balance between pasteurized milk and raw milk availability and the truth of it all, and get the science out there and so on and so forth. An organization called the rawmilkinstitute.org was founded a few months ago, and their website's actually going to be up this Friday. It has phenomenal directorship, and its role is to actually help train farmers to become better stewards of raw milk production so they can actually have safe raw milk consistently, help farmers create food safety plans and standards and testing and educational outreach and legislative outreach and oversight to help legislature be trained. We see this as, there's a mantra we have. You don't sell raw milk. You teach raw milk. And there's a reason behind that. You don't go sell something to someone that they're ignorant of. You simply offer them a flavor, a taste, and you teach them about it, and they make a choice on their own right. You don't sell it to anybody. You teach them. And so when people start understanding how critical it is to have an immune system that's intact or face the music in terms of what's going on with superbugs and infections and MRSA and everything else in this country, people start paying attention. And it's about an educational uprising right now. And, of course, we know that industry likes to just tell stories to support their angle. and they don't particularly want to hear about the truth. The truth can get in the way of industry a lot. And so what we do is we just tell the truth, and we have people share their stories, and we use European studies that are quite profound, and we're moving this mountain of ignorance away, spoonful by spoonful, glass by glass, and story by story, and scientific study by scientific study. The other really neat thing that's going on at Raw Milk Institute is we're asking people to submit their testimonials about raw milk, and we'll have a database of, 15, 20,000 testimonials here in the next 6 to 8 months. And when those are collected, we'll be able to identify classifications of different kinds of medical healing traits that raw milk can contribute to. So asthma, bone density, allergies, these kinds of things, gut problems, digestibility, we'll be able to classify. And in their own right, those have become the bases for some tremendous scientific theories and some scientific proof that actually is missing right now in the raw milk movement, because nobody's funded raw milk study. They've funded some milk study on breast milk, but they haven't studied about milk. So these studies that are being done by the Raw Milk Institute are going to revolutionize the basis and foundation of our ability to argue and show the science behind what we all know to be truthful ourselves. Because everybody does a little science study themselves, and they drink their raw milk, and they feel better, and they get better, and their bowel movements are more regular, and they don't die, their Helicobacter pylori ulcers go away, and their GERD goes away, and their asthma goes away, their immune system starts to work. You go, wow, that's great. Well, that's testimonial and anecdotal, and the scientists they ignore that completely. We're going to convert that citizens' self-study, research, anecdotal information into scientific basis information with some phenomenal collaborating PhDs we have on staff here with at the directorship and executive directorship at Raw Milk Institute, and be able to bring this information forward to argue why raw milk and how raw milk can be very, very safe. We haven't found a pathogen in our milk in 12 years of testing. Clarabelle Dairy formed and started their business in 1927, been state-inspected since then. No pathogens ever detected in 87 years or 84 years of continual retail presence in California. These are not random numbers. These occur because of certain kinds of practices, and so we know we can reliably produce raw milk in a profoundly safe way consistently for large groups of people. And this really segues in a renaissance for the American farmer, where they are relevant. The pasteurizer makes the farmer irrelevant. You really don't care where the milk comes from. It's going to be pasteurized. But raw milk is something that makes the farmer relevant. It pays them 5 to 10 times more than the pasteurized milk guys, because the farmer's work actually matters. So this is a way of bringing back jobs to America. You can't outsource raw milk. You can't fake raw milk. And also health to America. And the two big things that are going on in America right now, the big discussions are jobs and health care. Well, wow, what a greater first step to do than to get some raw milk back in America and get more small dairies that care about their cows and care about the soils and the consumers and actually produce safe, delicious, fresh raw milk that's healing for the American immune system and actually have some health care benefits as a result. So these are good things for America.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and I'll probably be chiming into that rawmilkinstitute.org, as far as testimonials go. Another little testimonial, and there's a story, I'm sure, behind it. We only got about 4 or 5 minutes left in the show. But when I would, come into California, visit, I'd pass through, say, Sacramento, and I'd go by the Whole Foods market, which I think, Whole Foods is pretty much around the country, so people across the country are familiar with it. But at a certain point, a year or two ago, Whole Foods stopped carrying raw milk. And I wonder if you could quickly tell people, because this might help people to anticipate problems in the future.
Well, number one, Whole Foods was sued by a couple of attorneys in Connecticut. A couple of kids got sick up there with E. coli. They didn't die. They fully recovered. They're fine. But they got sick from some raw milk that was produced improperly and wasn't tested properly. And, Whole Foods and the insurance company that they have, I think they're self-insured, wrote a $2 million check to get these kids taken care of in their liability lawsuit. Now, when Whole Foods said, okay, what about this? We don't want to do this again. They looked at their stores, and they saw all these stores across the United States and only had some stores with raw milk, and every state had a different law, and there's no set standards on what raw milk really was. They just said, to heck with it, no more raw milk in any stores. And that was really sad because in California, raw milk was a top-selling dairy product in all of their 55 stores we were in. And the Whole Foods people actually here in California cried. I mean, they were just so upset. Now they have to go down the street to somebody else to get raw milk. But the raw milk was kicked out of Whole Foods unceremoniously with 6 hours' notice. And we tried our best to stay in, but they wouldn't have it. They wouldn't have us. That was one of the reasons why the RawMilkInstitute.org was created, was to help all farmers get on the same page with raw milk and not have these sporadic little, you know, sprinklings of illness that happen once in a while. You got to remember that if you look at the true data at the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, there's been 422,000 people sickened since 1973 with pasteurized milk. That's about 11,000 people per year. And they officially have rated 17 people have actually died from pasteurized milk products. We don't think that's accurate because the Jalisco cheese incident in its own right killed about 50 people in 1985, and they don't even list that, and that was pasteurized cheese. So the data at the CDC isn't even correct. But, I mean, that's the official numbers. The data showing illnesses from raw milk shows 1,100 people sickened since 1973 and zero deaths. So, you know, it's literally irrelevant as far as food safety is concerned. Nobody's died. And 1,100 people is 29 people a year for 37 years. So there's just no from raw milk except for rare occasions. So it's a grossly out of proportion, blown up story to further the agenda of the pasteurized milk community and to limit the access to raw milk. So it's where fear meets freedom in terms of access to raw milk.
Wow. So that's a couple of attorneys. A couple of attorneys caused the entire country, at least Whole Foods shoppers, to go without raw milk.
Yep. Wow. We were able to turn to Facebook. And within 2 weeks, we had a list of 60 stores that wanted our raw milk. And they were excited to get it because they were the ones that had been displaced by Whole Foods. And so a Facebook page, we asked the consumers, where would you like to have raw milk sold in these areas where Whole Foods used to be? And Facebook, the social network, actually was the place we got advice on where to put our raw milk. And sales for 2010 were 30% higher than the previous year with Whole Foods on board. With losing 55 stores and adding back 60 stores that were mom and pops, we sold 30% more products. So, you know, we also learned not to put all our eggs in one big corporate basket.
Wow, that's exciting. I mean,
yeah.
Talk about making lemonade out of lemons.
people ask me what I do. I said, I'm a professional organic lemonade maker.
Well, hopefully, God's will be done. He, puts all those wonderful foods out there, the vegetables, the grass for the cows to eat to make something pure for us to consume, since we can't eat grass, as you said,
yeah.
You acknowledged. And so somehow, some way, they try to push and we push back even harder and have some really incredible results.
Well, if we start eating like the good Lord suggested we did a long time ago in Land of Milk and Honey, we wouldn't have a lot of problems we've got today. We really, really wouldn't, because our immune systems have been completely neglected in America. And although we have some wonderful modern science with antibiotics, which have been very life-saving, we have overused them and abused them, and now we have got that pendulum swinging way outside of the box. We need to get back to some place where antibiotics do work, and they can be reserved for when we truly are sick. But we have immune systems that work very profoundly well as well, so we don't have to use antibiotics, and we don't have to be constantly going to the doctor after we're sick. We can actually prevent illness, and that's really where sustainable medicine needs to be for the future anyway.
Sure. Well, okay, so just there in the last minute, I'd like to let the listeners know it's the dairy is called Organic Pastures, and their website is organicpastures.com.
We're in Fresno, California.
Fresno, California, mm-hmm. And so Californians have the best benefit there. But you can certainly learn a lot at organicpastures.com about raw milk and how you might be able to get it in your area. Mark and his family are out there on the front lines fighting the good fight and trying to bring real food to at least Californians. And you were bringing it to those two-legged pets, as you said before, but just trying your best to keep pushing for something that really should have been here all along. So
yes.
My hat's off to you and your family. I was looking at the website and seeing that you've got, the whole place is pretty much run by family.
We've got 55 employees now and 18 trucks running with a wonderful group of a team of employees that are serving 400 stores. So it's about the whole team.
Right. So Californian or not, I wish my listeners would look up organicpastures.com and jump into the raw milk phenomenon. And Mark, again, thanks for joining us on the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. And we'll have you on
sometime. Thank you. Anytime. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.